Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. It's not uncommon for us at Mormonism Research Ministry to receive an email or a phone call from a former Mormon who is now in the process of having to find a new church. I recall one time I was volunteering at the Utah Lighthouse bookstore, and an ex-Mormon came into the store, and he was saying, "Man, this grace thing is really hard." He says, "What do I look for in a church?" He was at a loss, because in Mormonism, they do all the thinking for you. They tell you where to go. They tell you what to do. They tell you where you're going to serve. And so I can understand how grace could be difficult for some people coming out of the Mormon church and into Christianity as it's understood in the New Testament.
And let's just be honest, there are a number of denominations that are out there that differ in many, many ways. Now, many of them may have the essential issues together. They might have the right kinds of doctrine, but do you just go to the corner church just because it's a Christian church, or are there things to look for?
I would say absolutely there are things that we should look for. You and I are, of course, very discriminatory in how we make a decision where we are going to go and fellowship on Sundays. And I think all Christians should be exercising some discernment as to where they are going to go. Because you're right, just because a church claims to be Christian doesn't necessarily mean that that's the place for you. Now, that might sound a little bit odd, but I think there's a lot of truth to that statement, and experience seems to bear that out. We received an email from a man from Sweden, and this is really what has caused us to do this show today. This email from this man, it just tore at my heartstrings. We're only going to read a portion of his email on today's broadcast, but he raises this question, and we are going to try and answer this question for him in the coming broadcast this week.
And it's amazing that he comes from Sweden, because probably 6 or 8 months ago, we did a series of shows on what we call the Swedish Rescue, a group of Swedish saints who called in a couple of history educators from the church itself to come and explain some things.
Yeah, they were two Mormon historians that were actually called in.
And this was something that they were bothered by, all the things they were learning. And so I'm just wondering if this young man, this was 4 years ago in 2010, perhaps this young man at that time was hearing those things and was bothered as well.
It could be. Anyway, his name is Joseph. And so Eric is going to read his email, and then we're going to respond up. But this is coming from a young man, 32 years old, he claims, who lives in Sweden, who has recently left the Mormon church.
He says, "I have been a Mormon my whole life. My mother and her sister joined the church when they were 13 and 18. They are still members today. My mother had 11 children, and they are all still Mormons except me. I left the church 2 years ago. It was a long process. Now when I look back, I see that I had questions since I was very young, questions nobody in the church could answer. Questions that ultimately led me to leaving the church. First, when I was younger, it was polygamy and blacks versus the priesthood. When I got older, I found issues that you all are describing on your webpage, like grace, weight of the gold plates, Carthage jail gunfight defense, different versions of the first vision, and so on. It became a flood of questions for me, a flood of facts overwhelming me that made me realize that the church couldn't be true. And that was a shock. I cannot fully express myself in the English language to tell of all the details of my awakening. So I awoke to realize that the Bible is true, that Jesus is God, the Son of God, the creator of all things, even Lucifer, and that we are saved by grace, and so on. Some would say they have been born again. Maybe I have, but I suppose it's a long process. Now to my problem. First, I have a problem identifying the right church for me in Sweden to join. Not that we need a church to go to heaven, but it would be nice to discuss the Bible with like-minded people and to worship God with songs and other things. What is your suggestion of church that I can attend in Sweden?"
That's a tough one because we're not very familiar with churches in the country of Sweden. So to give him a specific location where he could go, of course, would be very difficult for us. And plus, we don't even know where he lives geographically in the country of Sweden.
But hats off to Joseph for being able to figure out that there still is a God. He understands salvation by grace. He doesn't maybe know everything because he, you know, he sounds like he's a new believer. But at the same time, I say, wow, he didn't turn to atheism like I'm sure a lot of his brethren there in Sweden who leave the church will end up doing, just like they do here in the United States.
Well, and he also seems to understand the fact when he says at the end, not that we need a church to go to heaven, but it would be nice to discuss the Bible with like-minded people and to worship God with songs and other things. And certainly we do have a responsibility, I believe, as Christians, to gather with other like-minded Christian saints and to do just that, to worship God in the beauty of his holiness, to lift up praises unto his name, and to hear a sermon which will hopefully encourage us or exhort us into living a life which gives honor to the one who saved us.
Well, we were in Manti recently for the Mormon Miracle Pageant, and I was talking to a gentleman who was there who just became a Christian within the last couple of years. And so I asked him where he was going to church, and his response was, well, I'm not. And so we got to talking about that, and I explained the importance of him going to church. He says, well, I watch the internet, or I watch television, and I learn a lot from that. I tried to explain that that's important to be able to learn teachings that way, but you have to get integrated into the body. The Bible talks about this in Hebrews, and the fellowship of the believer is so important that it's more than just learning from your mind things on the radio or TV, but it's getting involved in people's lives.
You're absolutely correct. There is such a huge part of the whole picture that is missing if you are not actually there with fellow believers. Because the person on the radio, like you and I, if somebody's listening to us right now, we don't know what their personal issues might be, the questions that they may have that need to be answered right away. We're not aware of that because we don't know the individual who's actually listening to us right now. Now, we might be fortunate enough to hit it once in a while and talk on a topic that they are concerned about at the moment, but unless we have that face-to-face confrontation or even through an email or phone call, how are we going to know what they're really concerned about right now?
And not only that, but we need to have accountability. We need to have other people who are involved. This is where small groups for a lot of the bigger churches are very important because then you get to be known by people. They get to see you. And when you're not at your best, you need to be confronted. The television is not going to be able to confront you in the same way.
Well, what we wanted to do in the coming broadcast is to use Joseph's email as kind of like a springboard in what to look for in a church. As I mentioned before, not knowing his geographic location, I certainly couldn't point him to a specific fellowship that may have been in his neighborhood. And I have to admit that I'm not even familiar with a lot of the churches that are in the country of Sweden. If it was in the United States, maybe I could have helped out a little bit more. But even I find sometimes when people ask me about specific churches, I'm not even familiar with some churches to point them to in their area. I'm just not familiar with them. So what we wanted to do was give some bullet points that would help not only a person who is just coming out of the Mormon church or a new believer in particular. They don't even have to be a former Mormon. If you are listening to this and you have just recently given your heart to Christ and you're wondering where you need to go as a new Christian to grow and mature in the Christian faith, hopefully these bullet points that we have will be a help to you as well.
Maybe we ought to call this broadcast Church Shopping 101, because in essence, it is kind of like going to the Consumer Reports and figuring out what that product is all about before you make a commitment.
Now, of course, a lot of what you look for in a church is going to revolve around what you are hearing from the pulpit. Now, certainly the preaching in a particular fellowship is not the only thing that goes on or is important in the fellowship, but it is an important aspect. What is being taught over the pulpit certainly would be one of the major things that I would look for if I am going to find a fellowship in which to belong. And so some of the points that we are going to raise have to do with the actual preaching that is being taught in the church.
I think one of the important parts is the preaching from the Bible. And you have it here as if it's God's only and infallible and final word to his people. I was watching a movie recently, and it was involving a Christian pastor. And I got to hear three or four different kinds of sermons during the course of this movie. And do you know how many times he had the Bible opened up? Zero. It was all about nice stories and all the rest. And I think if you go to a church and the preacher gets up there and spends 45 minutes pontificating about what he did last Saturday and who won the football game and does not open up his Bible and does not preach from it, I think that's not a church you ought to stick around.
Now, some pastors would not use a Bible only because everything's electronic now. I mean, some churches, that it's kind of unnerving for me when I'm preaching and I see people looking at their smartphone. I don't know whether they're texting somebody while I'm talking or they're actually reading the text that I'm pointing to on their smartphone nowadays.
Yeah, I'm referring to just preaching from the Bible, regardless exactly. of whether it's on a PowerPoint slide or he's got it memorized, perhaps. If they're not quoting from the Bible, if they're not using the information that we have, God's Word, to have it applied into lives, I think that's a dangerous situation.
I think that's absolutely essential. In fact, for me personally, if it was a church where the Bible was not referred to quite often, over and over, in fact, in a particular sermon, I would probably be very concerned, and I don't think that would be a place where I'd want to land. I want to be in a church where the preaching comes forth from the Word because it has the ability to convict me of my shortcomings when I need it and to encourage me when I need it. In other words, God's Word has a way of doing these things, and sometimes it's amazing how all of a sudden you go to church and you hear something that is specifically just for you and the need that you have at that particular time.
And I kind of like it when they go through books of the Bible, that they don't just do topically, which is okay to do occasionally, but I think going through the book of Ephesians and knowing next week you're going to be on verses 4 through 11 after the introduction of this, and I think that's helpful.
Hopefully you'll find this series to be a help, and maybe it'll open your eyes to some shortcomings where you're fellowshipping now.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons' Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.